And let's see, something's percolating. I smell either coffee or warm toast. I should see a doctor about that. Hey, folks, this is Walt, and on behalf of the BAMF podcast, today we are talking about art in RPGs, how you get started, why you should probably run the other way, and maybe a smattering of stuff in between. So we have a small cavalcade of artists here to talk about their experiences, and then later we're going to get with one of our guests to talk about his latest Kickstarter and why you should back it immediately. Starting with our special guest co-host, we have Mr. James Shields. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. And next in the lineup is regular commentator, excellent spectator, and of course, artist extraordinaire, Mr. Jacob Blackman. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thank you for having me again.
Thank you, sir. And Mike Lafferty will be joining us in a minute. There was something about a penguin in a microwave. So, you know, we'll get to that when we get to that. So starting with you, James, how did you get into doing art, and how did you kind of start developing your own personal style?
So like with all artists, I started at a young age, and it was about middle school. And I saw another kid had this comic book, and it was cool, and I wanted to see it, but he wouldn't let anybody see it. And that was my first introduction to comic books. And then fast forward some. Actually, I still have my very first superhero illustration. I'll have to share some point. Absolutely horrible. But fast forward, and in high school, I met up with a friend. Made a friend who was big in comic books. He introduced me even further. And I learned most of my illustration abilities from just copying comic book stuff. I did wind up going to the Art Institute of Dallas and graduating from there, got a little bit better. And then before the gap, I did get a job working at a... I'm getting ahead of myself. So, graduated high school, decided I want to do comic books, and my parents convinced me that, my parents were trying to convince me to go to college, and I said, I don't want to do that. I want to go draw comic books. And so finally I decided, okay, well, I'll go to the Art Institute of Dallas. I got a scholarship to there, start going, and realized I got a scholarship for graphic design, but find out, and in the course of that, you don't get storyboarding with graphic design. I was like, well, that's essentially what I want to do. And so I was able to switch over to computer animation, which got storyboarding. And after I graduated, got a job, not in comic books, but drawing, working for a computer game company for about a year and a half before they folded. And at that point, began my gap from artwork. Actually, I surrendered to doing ministry. I went to seminary. I got my master's, and I have a very eclectic history when it comes to this. While in seminary, I felt a desire to serve my country. Make a long story short, joined Marine Corps Reserves. Thinking in my naivety that it's just 1 week in a month and 2 weeks a year. And then my recruiter, of course, told me that, your unit's not scheduled to deploy for another 3 years. I'm like, all right, well, I'll go off to boot camp and finish off the last two trimesters of the year. Just miss a trimester and finish that. And then find out that, I need my school of infantry. And do that, and I'll just miss, I'll just come back for the last trimester and check in with my unit. They said, hey, guess where you're going? And thinking, home? And so it was true, my unit wasn't scheduled to deploy, but there was another unit who was scheduled. And so anybody that hadn't deployed yet was voluntold to go, and because they were short on guys. So first deployment to Iraq. And then after I came back from Iraq, I was working part-time, odds and ends stuff while going to school. And my wife was like, hey, God's given you this ability. Why don't you use it? And so I jumped headfirst, not knowing a single thing of what I was doing, into freelancing. You went by, and then and this is before I even got into role playing and realizing that, hey, there was this whole world of cool stuff I could do for art. And my second deployment rolls around, Afghanistan, come back, and that's when I decided to, I think my very first role playing gig I landed through some site I don't recommend, and I was able to do some painting type illustrations for Rogue something. Maybe it's just Rogue. No. Anyway, I should be able to remember it better than that. But anyway, so then I was like, hey, why don't I just do this stuff I always wanted to do? Because I got my, you know, I was role playing in high school, and I fell in love with my very first one that was introduced to was Rifts, which is the best time to learn Rifts is when you know nothing else. And so loved the artwork, Ramon Perez's stuff. And even then I knew I wanted to draw comic books. I think I would draw for like role playing and stuff like that. And so when I realized that, I started being able to connect with others in the role playing industry, and then finally said, forget all this other stuff. And there was a big bell curve and learning how to do this whole freelance stuff. So that brings me up to the last kind of like 4 or 5 years of I've been at it now, and I feel like I've grown as an artist, as a freelancer, and I guess that's my long story of how I got to where I am now.
Right. Did you draw on deployment?
Yes. Not a whole lot, but yes. I actually have a couple illustrations that I did on deployment that are actually up on a stock art. And one of them was a tattoo design I did for a guy who never paid me. By the way, if you're out there listening, I doubt you are. So he never got the tattoo, but... so now I'm trying to make some money off of it.
Right on. Jacob, how'd you get into drawing, sketching, and, you know, kind of going where you are now?
Well, I've always, you know, done a little drawing here and there as a kid. The first thing I really wanted to draw for serious when I was young was Ultraman, after I first started watching the old translated Japanese show. So I busted out crayons. I actually had silver crayons, so I could actually get the silver on his character. And you know, I thought it turned out pretty well. And you know, I just kept drawing and drawing, and it became a thing with me. My parents, I know I hear the horror stories of a lot of people who get into the arts. Their parents aren't very supportive. Mine were, but they seriously encouraged my art and continue to do so today. I didn't get into comics until I was around 11. The first one I picked up was Transformers number 39, because the cover was really awesome. It had this picture of Fortress Maximus with a missile shoved right through him. It's like, how? So I picked up the comic, and you know, I wanted to see what's going on. How could this big, super powerful city-sized Transformer suffer such a fate? And I was pretty much reading comics from then on, mostly Transformers, some Star Trek, a couple of reprints of the old Star Wars. I didn't get into superheroes until I was 14 with the Jim Lee X-Men number 1, because that big giant fold cover was pretty cool when I first saw it. You know, and as I saw the styles of comic book artists, I worked on my own, you know, try to get better. My parents bought me a copy of a videotape copy, not the book, the videotape copy of How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way.
Wow. So,
uncensored Stan Lee talking to you right in your face with all his explosive exuberance and excitement about how wonderful it is to be in comics. You really feel the passion, and you want to draw with that kind of energy.
Did you later turn that video into a drinking game every time he said Excelsior?
I have never picked up drinking, so no. But yeah, I continued to draw throughout my teenage years, my adult years. It was pretty much something I loved to do. When I got into role playing games in junior high, I would be drawing, characters our player characters. I would be drawing scenes from our games, and continue to do so for a while. I didn't get into the gaming industry until very recently. In the early 2000s, I was contacted by a few people because they'd seen my DeviantArt page, and they were like, "Could you do some superhero stuff for me?" And this was when Mike was working with Vigilance Press, and I did some stuff for them. And they really liked my work. They continued to come to me for a while, but only ever so often. And my career as an artist really didn't take off until Owen Stevens contacted me to do some stuff for some of his bestiaries with Super Genius Games. They had an artist flake on them, and he knew I could draw really fast. And I was able to finish that project within 4 days, which, a dozen monsters in 4 days, no one else can seemingly do that. And I did not realize that my speed was so odd. I've slowed down a little since then, because as my art has gotten more detailed, those details take time. But I'm really happy with where my life is now. I enjoy doing the freelance gig. It's a lot of fun. Has its problems sometimes, but for the most part, it's been pretty good these last few years.
Right on. Now, can you guys talk? Excuse me, I have a cat. Can you guys talk about how crowdfunding and how things like Patreon has changed the landscape?
I feel like I can. I actually got onto Patreon pretty early in its stages. I didn't realize this at the time, but and what it has, in case anybody listening doesn't know what Patreon is, Patreon is a crowdfunding website that allows you to get paid monthly or per project continuously versus Kickstarter, which is a one and done type of thing. And so what it does, it allows you to create a revenue stream where you're not constantly having to go out and find more work or more clients or whatever. Rather, you're building a base of people who support you and want to help you create a continuous thing. And so I jumped in to create my desire since almost since the beginning was to kind of bridge the gap for small publishers. Since I know they usually don't have the greatest of budgets, I wanted to bridge the gap between using pure stock art and straight commission work. And so what I did was said, hey, everybody that supports my Patreon, my crowdfunding, gets to submit ideas for me to illustrate instead of them having to go someone and pay them their full price. Everybody that is a backer, is a patron, gets all the artwork I create, and so they get that bundle of everybody's ideas, and they get a commissioned illustration.
Jacob, how has it been for you as far as Patreon goes?
I didn't actually start on Patreon until a couple of years ago. I had heard about it previous to that, but it apparently went through one ear and out the other. And then someone was like, "Do you have a Patreon? I'd like to support you, even though I can't help you out, you know, with commissions. But you know, I could throw you $1 a month." And it was like, okay. So yeah, it's this really great. It's this really great tool for artists to where the people who like their art can support them, even if they can't commission them. You know, you may not be able to afford, you know, the $40 or $50 that I charge for a piece of art, but if you like my stuff and you can afford $1 a month, yeah, that's great. I love it. I think it is a wonderful tool for all artists, whatever your medium happens to be. I know musicians who are on it. I know filmmakers who are on it, writers, illustrators, photographers. If you are into the arts, I seriously recommend getting on Patreon. And the only thing that is kind of a pain is all the advertising you have to do pretty much yourself. No, Patreon does not help with that, which honestly I think is kind of a pain considering how much money they take out. they could at least, you know, give us some advertising time.
Now, did you guys suffer any from the Patreon scare that happened a few months ago?
Oh yes.
Not me. I'll let Jacob go first, and then I'll talk about mine.
I was pulling in $500 a month. Currently I'm pulling in a little over 400 because I lost a ton of supporters when they decided to do their, the way they change how they were going to bill. Now they decided to not do that, but people still don't trust them because they could always go back to deciding to do it again. So
there's also a certain amount of effort into just getting one person on, and so once they leave, then getting them to press that button to do it again is still more work.
Yeah.
On my side of things, the change really just hurt those who did multiple releases every month, those who back a whole bunch of things every month, because if I remember correctly, it was you wound up. Well, I should say, I know that you got hurt because you were they decided to give the patrons the fees as opposed to taking it from the artists. And if they had done that from the very beginning, it might not have been a bad, you know, might not, well, obviously it wouldn't be an issue, but they decided to do it midstream and everybody's used to one way. But most of my, you know, I was releasing one pack a month. I believe at the time, or maybe I just decided to do that. And so I think I maybe lost two people out of the whole ordeal. And because mine tended to be higher pledge levels, there wasn't a whole lot of that nickel and diamond stuff going on.
Right on. Now, you guys are talking about advertising, and for people who are looking to get into doing art for, say, the RPG industry or for comics and stuff like that, how do you guys get the word out about your stuff? I mean, we obviously know that, you know, FaceSpace and Twitter and Instagram is huge, but what do you do to kind of engage that audience that might not be looking at you through that kind of medium?
Social media is pretty much the way you have to go with it, unfortunately. It is the way that a lot of people talk these days. I was told when after I started getting big with my freelance career, I had to have Facebook, I had to have Twitter, I had to be on social media to get people to come to me. And to a large degree, it's true. I do my best to advertise when I have commissions open on my DeviantArt page, which is where the majority of my art is posted. I do the same on my Patreon, but the majority of the work that comes to me is when I post that I have commission slots available on Facebook and Twitter.
I'll talk about one if you're just trying to first get into it, or I'll talk about my experience. You know, I didn't have a lot of the social connections in the RPG industry. You know, when you first start off, no one does. And so what I did was I just looked at all the as many companies as I could find that were doing RPG work, and found their email and just sent them an email. Everybody still has email. And you find you send, you know, 2 to 3 good pieces of your work. Ideally send them your rates as well. And that's how you start getting your first work. You know, I do echo Jacob's words that you have to have social media. Obviously, you know, you don't have to, but it's gonna be a lot more work for you. Most of my work has actually come through, most of my connections actually through Google Plus. I don't know if everybody else has that same experience, but I feel like the majority of the role-playing stuff I've seen is there. And it may just be the way that I've connected. I haven't been able to master Twitter stuff, but that's how I do mine as well. I do have my stuff up on Drive-Thru, and so I've had some come through there. Just having work that people like and they want more of it. That, you know, hey, I like your stuff. I've been using some of it, and then they'll contact you. And so, I don't do a whole lot of advertising, actually. I feel like I'm to the point in my freelancing career. I've actually not gone out looking for work in probably a year or two. Most of mine will actually come to me. And so with any freelancing, it's about building your good client base, and your clients will talk about you. They'll share your work. And if you, hopefully we'll talk about, image rights I'll talk about, protecting those and then what you can do with them, to also generate more revenue. But, build your client base, and still stay active on multimedia on social media, and share your work, and other people share it too.
Now, how do you guys feel about conventions? I know Jacob is a regular attendee of conventions. How do you feel that kind of impacts your work, and do you recommend going to conventions, especially if you're just starting out?
Convention work is pretty helpful. Yes, there is nothing better than putting an actual face to the people you want to work with. You know, if you go to a convention and you see that some gaming company is there that you want to work with, get a chance to come up to them, say, "Hey, I'm Jacob Blackman. I'm an artist. Here's my card. Would you like to take a look at my portfolio that I've got here? I would love to work with you." And make sure that you know the stuff that they do. You know, it helps to have done research ahead of time, because you know you can talk about the projects that they have done that you have loved and what you like about them, and that always lets them know that you are serious about working with them. But yeah, the convention circuit does help, because like I said, face to name. I have had issues recently having an artist table, because it is very difficult to, I have found with as much original art as I do, I don't do much of the fan art. I just don't make my money back. I have noticed that because I am all original stuff, no fan art, I can maybe get the cost of the table back, but the rest of the convention is pretty much a wash for me. So I have given up being part of an artist alley. Now I just go to conventions as an attendee, and partly for work, to meet others in the industry.
I would recommend not going to conventions unless you actually want to be there. There's only two conventions I've actually attended. And my very first one, this will be my, I think, third or fourth year, is the North Texas RPG Con. And the last one I went to was Chupacabra Con. I run into the issue of, I want to play games. I don't want to sit there and display my work, and I don't mind talking to people. That's not my issue. But if I'm sitting here and that table is gaming, I want to be part of it. The only thing I recommend is you go to a convention. I'm mainly talking for role playing stuff. And there are conventions for everything, but whatever it is you want to do artwork in, go to the things that you're actually interested in. Otherwise, you're gonna have Jacob's problem. You're not gonna make your money back for having a table there. So just go connect with faces, talk to people, give them your card, do something creative with yourself. I don't know if they're nearby. I'm going to recommend using DriveThruRPG for your business cards. I create a deck of cards, and every image is different on both sides. And so I can say, hey, here's my card. Pick a card, any card. And that way they can pick something that they actually really like, as opposed to you just giving them your staple of stuff. But do something different that's going to set you out and apart from everybody else. And just talk with people. But if you're going to go to the convention, do it for the games, do it for whatever the convention is for.
That's actually a great idea. That's a fantastic idea, the deck of cards.
Yes.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. That's ingenious.
Okay, let's see. Steel deck of cards idea.
And it's super cheap. It's like $5.
Yeah, right. I've been looking at their stuff just to make decks of art cards, and they're really cheap to do.
Right on. Now, speaking of going to conventions and displaying your stuff online portfolios, we had mentioned DeviantArt. You mentioned Patreon. Let's talk image rights, because one of the things that new artists, and especially cats that get in the video, don't understand is that, you know, you really need to sign your work. You really need to tag your work so that it's always traceable to you. With things like Pinterest, where it's just like a random line number that somebody put in to put you as part of a list, it sometimes can be hard to mark your work and mark your work as yours. Can you guys talk about rights for a little bit and why those are so important?
Yes, actually, that's one of my favorite things to talk about when talking with other artists. Understand your image rights. And the way that works is that when you create something, you are the one who owns the rights to the image. Even if someone pays you to create the work, you are the one who owns the rights to the image. Now, ideally, you have in writing what amount of rights that they get for the image. But understand that by default, you own the rights. Now, the way that most of my client works, and I love it, is that most of my clients, they're not interested in keeping all the rights. They just want good art. And so they go for my cheapest one, where I don't charge anything extra. If all you want to do is pay me to create it and then use it in your work. If you want any more exclusivity, understand that intrinsic to that is value. Otherwise, my headset keeps telling my battery's low, so I might have to switch out here in a little bit. But otherwise they wouldn't want. They wouldn't be having this debate or argument over, well, you know, we should have the rights and all these things. There's value to it. And the value you set to it is really going to be, up to the individual artist, how much what value they want to assess. Just understand that you should charge more for someone who wants to be the first person to use it. You should charge more if they just wanted to be the one only person who uses it for their market, or if they want to be the only ones who can ever use it. That should be even more than that. I'll give some recommendations, but this is it's not hard and fast lines. for non-exclusive, I don't charge anything extra. I could, but for me, it's the same as if, you know, just a regular person wants to use it for non-commercial and they commission me. You know, if you do charge something, don't charge a whole lot. Actually, you know, 5-10% extra for someone who wants to use it for commercial stuff. If you want to be the first one to use it, I'd say 10-20% more of the cost of to create the artwork. If for non-exclusive, for all rights, that's all rights for limited purpose, which means, okay, I'm creating a game and I just don't want to see other games with this artwork. I would say anywhere between 20-50% of the cost to create the artwork. And when I say cost, your hourly rate, and perhaps any sort of cost into the physical creation if you do that. If you don't do physical creation, understand that there's still value that you need to be charging for, because Photoshop's not cheap. Your computer is not cheap, upgrading it. There should be a certain amount that you're setting aside to say, hey, at some point I'm gonna need to buy a new tablet or upgrade my program or whatever. When you talk about all rights, understand that you will never ever be able to benefit financially from this ever again